Here on Love Maine Radio, we've spent a considerable amount of time thinking about our communities and the types of things that our neighbors really need in order to live sustainably in Maine. One of these is food, and one of these is shelter. Greg Dufour has similarly been thinking about shelter. He is the president of Camden National Bank. Greg believes that the strength of the bank is only as strong as the communities they serve. Recently, he saw a growing need for assistance and conceived of the innovative Hope at Home program. For every home it finances, Camden National Bank donates $100 to a homeless shelter in the community of the new homeowner, providing support and hope to neighbors living without a home. Thanks for coming in today, Greg.
It's my pleasure.
So as I said, we think about kind of basic human needs, food, shelter. I would add in there companionship. Obviously, banks don't do a lot about companionships necessarily, but you're working on homelessness.
Yes.
How did these two things get connected?
Well, it was actually a personal experience, and it started with last year in February. I was driving to work every day, and noticed this one little motel that seemed to have its parking lot full, which in Rockport, Maine, is a little bit unique in February. And I just kind of kept on driving by. And then one day on my way to work at Camden National, I was running a little late and I was behind the school bus. And the school bus stopped in front of this motel. And it was a cold February morning and I saw about a half a dozen kids get on the school bus. And I couldn't figure out why. And so I started asking around the community. I got to know Stephanie Prim with the Knox County Homeless Association. And she said that's where they put some families who are homeless, in this little motel. And it struck me that here I am, fortunate to have a job that I love going to work to in a community that is great, but is also known for being picturesque and in Maine terms, affluent. Yet here are these homeless people literally right under my nose. And I said something needed to be done. It was such a different thing going on around me. And so I went to the bank, and fortunately, Camden National, being a community bank, we do a lot, donating to various organizations. And we were looking for something to get behind in the organization that would be, we could focus on, but something that maybe other organizations haven't been focusing on as well. You know, a lot of great worthy causes throughout the state. They get a lot of support. Camden supports a lot of those efforts as well. But we really didn't see one organization stepping forward to devote some time and energy behind homelessness. And so that's how it all started. And then kind of brainstorming happened. And we created this program where when somebody purchases a home, finances it through us, we donate $100 in the customer's name, if they choose to the nearest homeless shelter. And we did that so we can make a connection between somebody going through the joy of homeownership and helping somebody at the same time in their community. And it was really part of that advocacy part that I think is truly unique about this program.
It sounds like, in my conversation with you, you were surprised by the number of homeless shelters around the area that your bank serves.
It really is. And when you're in Portland, there's Preble Street that is very visible and does a lot of great work. In Bangor, they have two or three large shelters. And as we've been going out and actually giving checks to the local homeless shelters, I get amazed by going into some of the communities, especially in rural Maine, where there is a homeless shelter there, or a group of people trying to, address homelessness. And it's shocking. It's really still kind of under our nose. You may say, well, what are they doing in that business? Why are there, cars there? And some of them could be homeless shelters. And not only the physical buildings, but the people that are dedicating their lives to helping the homeless. It's truly amazing. It's truly something that is eye-opening to me.
It is striking, the contrast between the school bus and the hotel where people are living. You're right about, especially Portland, it seems more evident that people don't necessarily have a place to live. And perhaps even I have had some preconceived notions about people who are homeless, people who might choose to live on the street or be forced to live on the street. But what you're talking about are families. You're not talking about perhaps people with mental illness or people with addiction issues or people who have just gotten out of being incarcerated. You're talking about families who need a place to live, who need a place that they can put their kid on the school bus.
Well, we're actually talking about now everyone. I'll admit that as I personally started this effort of my own personal effort of learning about homelessness, it was about the families and it was about the children that are homeless. Maybe it's a good thing they're in a motel versus better than being in a car living. But as I should phrase it, got to learn about more about homelessness, you have to put aside some of the ways people become homeless, whether it's a job loss or domestic abuse or something like that. Those are the things that I think people can say, okay, well, we have to help those folks, and we definitely do. But then when you talk about addiction, and your first reaction is, well, do they deserve help? And how I personally and how our organization has addressed it is, we really don't care how somebody gets homeless. They're homeless, and if there's something that we can do with our efforts that and supporting the people that are, helping and working in the homeless shelters, it may solve some of those other issues. I was talking with a group of folks, I believe it's the Hope House up in Bangor, and they address homelessness for addicts. And I was chatting with them, and they mentioned the number of addicts that they have homeless and that they help and give shelter to every evening. And it was a large number, let's say, like 70 or 80. And I said, oh, so these are recovering addicts. And they said, no, these are active addicts. And that's when I realized that these people are trying to get the addicts on a path of recovery. And so it's not just solving homelessness. It may be solving or helping somebody save a life. And that's the real power, and I think the real story that's not out there.
You know, it's an interesting point because addiction is such a sticky issue. Addiction and mental illness and some of these other things that might lead to homelessness. So sometimes it's important to just put those things aside and say, you know, the bottom line is we live in a state that gets very cold at night. And even if we lived in a warm state, people need to have a roof over their heads. They need to have a place that they can go to at the end of the day and get a warm meal. So it's talking about sort of dropping our value judgments in some ways.
It is. And it's setting aside some of those judgments to say, really, here's the issue. People are homeless. And however you get into the homeless situation, you're in a cycle. It could be job loss, or it could be something that, you know, like we're talking about addiction or domestic abuse. And as I see the work of the homeless shelters is trying to break that cycle, trying to help somebody get job training to get that job so they're no longer homeless, somebody trying to get in a better domestic situation, a safer situation, so they're no longer homeless. Maybe getting somebody into a recovery program so they're no longer homeless because now they can, you know, function better in society. As we were looking at putting the Camden National name behind the homeless efforts, we had to just kind of cast that aside and say, we're going to focus on homelessness. And there's a lot of great that can happen from that if we don't put our own judgments against it. And I've been pleased to say that that's been just a great reaction that we've seen.
In my own medical practice, I've actually cared for young women with children who have been homeless themselves. They've described living at a campground for a summer or living in a motel space for a summer. And these aren't women, these happen to be the women that I've dealt with. It doesn't mean that men are not similar. These aren't women that have done anything wrong per se. They're just women who have been perhaps working a minimum wage job, don't have enough money for a security deposit, trying to deal with daycare. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to live a life. And yet, one of the things that I've seen is that sometimes it's incredibly difficult to ask for help before you go kind of too far down a road that leads you to not having a place to live. And that's a tough situation.
Right, absolutely. And I just sit back and think of being that parent, and you're trying to push and and trying to do it on your own. And as you said, that then it may go a step too far, and all of a sudden that you can't even afford that campsite, or the campsite closes for the season, and then you're truly homeless, and then they have to seek help out of necessity. So there's a lot of different things that we can address, just starting with that focal point from homelessness.
So you're interesting to me because you're a bank president. You're a dollars and cents kind of guy. And I know that Camden National has a community focus, so community has always been important to your organization. But you could very easily have driven by that hotel and not really even noticed the school bus and not really kind of put these things all together. What in your background caused you to be sensitive enough to kind of be picking up on these needs?
I guess I've never really thought about it. Maybe it's always been that. I know my parents are always very giving and active in their community, and they set a great example for me that way. Just my family, I think, we're focused at that. And I think it's a little bit of growing up in Maine. Yes, you can be a bank president, but there's always something or there's a good grounding going on all the time. And I think a lot of business leaders in the state, that something's unique is that, we live in our communities. We aren't living out in a big suburb and taking an hour ride into the city to do our jobs. When we go shopping, we're shopping amongst customers and, in my case, shareholders. And so to me, that gives a personal accountability that I personally feel in the community. And maybe what that results in is a sensitivity to something like this.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Old Town.
So that's very interesting that you ended up kind of right in the middle and right near Bangor, which is, as you've said, one of these places that has very active homeless shelters. And now you've moved out to the coast where you might think perhaps with a little bit more wealth, with a little bit more wherewithal, that it wouldn't be as much of a problem. And yet it's everywhere.
Right. And I think growing up in Old Town and actually now going back and seeing a community that was built around shoe shops and mills, and there was a vibrancy when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s there, to now that all the shoe shops are gone. The mill is essentially down to a few hundred, or maybe 100 or so people. At times it was probably closer to 1,000 way back when. And you see a community change. And so when I then go home to the Camden-Rockport area, I see that big difference that we have in the state of Maine. And now that, we even now have a branch in Old Town. And so I've kind of truly come home, both personally and business-wise, to it. And I think it does give that sense. How can I help? How can I make an impact? And fortunately, I work in an organization that supports that.
It seems to me, knowing some of the financial leaders in the state, that there really is, you guys seem to have more heart than many. I'm thinking about Yellow Light Breen, who recently changed jobs, and I think he now works for the Maine Community Foundation.
Yes,
but
yes.
He was very well
Maine
known.
Development
Maine Development Foundation, very well known. I believe he was associated with Bangor Savings.
Yes.
And of course, I'm a doctor, so I don't know all the financial ins and outs and all of this. But having paid attention to this, I'm impressed. I'm impressed because it feels like it's an important thing that people understand that money isn't just, it's not hard, cold cash currency. It's a means of living a life.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I'm proud of, being in the community banking industry. And last year, I was chairman of the Maine Bankers Association for all the community banks. We have 9,000 Maine residents that are employed by community banks. They give tens of thousands of hours of volunteer time each year. And I think we do about $1 million collectively each year of donations. And talking with my colleagues and fellow community bankers, we take that term community banker very seriously. And whether it's, no matter where you live, if you see a race or a walk for the homeless or breast cancer awareness or raising money or looking at some of the boards of nonprofits and community organizations, typically you see a banker on that. I think the good thing is, though, and I believe for most banks, we're not requiring our employees to go do this. We don't say, go serve on this board or go hike on this Saturday. we put the word out and say, here's an organization, they're having this cause going on. If you'd like to be involved, come. And it's just remarkable that you see these events going on. And it's not just Camden National Bank, but several community banks show up all the time. And I think that dates back, and especially when you look at smaller communities, the bank is an important part of each town that we serve. And it could be larger communities like a Portland or a Lewiston, Auburn area or Bangor, but even smaller ones like Machias or Callis or Jonesport, other areas like that. And to me, I think that's part of what we do in our industry.
You raise a good point. You know, we've been talking about how banks can help with various community-based causes, but you also employ the people who live in your towns. And I was just thinking of patients that I have who have worked for their local banks for a number of years, and this has been a good, solid, steady source of employment. They've been happy. They are loyal employees. They've been able to raise their families on the salaries that they receive. And it's an interesting and important way that banking has really created sustainability.
Oh, absolutely, and challenge. In all of the organizations, our banking organizations in the state, not only is it the face of that most people see the bank, the branch, we have major technology departments going on, offering challenging careers. Financial departments, which was kind of my career track coming up through. And it's truly still, I believe, an industry where you can start off at the entry level, being a teller. And if you're a hard worker and ambitious and have a lot of tenacity to keep learning, you can go all the way to be the CEO. And we do that by supporting training people, having tuition reimbursement programs, and that's throughout the industry we do that. So a lot of times I feel the banking industry isn't known for the great, not only great jobs, but the great careers we do here.
Which is really important for a state like Maine, because if we're not making the shoes that we once made, or, you know, making the paper in the amount that we once made, or, you know, we don't have the same types of employment opportunities, there have to be others that come in to
Absolutely.
Fill that void.
Absolutely.
So in addition to helping with people who have no homes, you're helping people who actually have homes and want to be able to keep those homes
and
want to continue to build lives here in Maine. How many people do you think you've helped with your new program?
Well, I don't know the exact number of people, but so far in the first 6 months of the program, we've donated to various homeless shelters over $20,000 at this point. And we're hoping, obviously, that with the home buying season still going strong, that by the time we close out 2015, that it will be well double of that. We've set no limit. Actually, more the better, because I think it shows, really money getting to the right places. It was interesting when we spoke to a lot of the folks in the homeless shelters as we were rolling this out, because we really didn't know if $100 at a time would make a difference. And one executive director of a homeless shelter sat there looking at me a little skeptical, and he said, "So what do we have to do to get this money?" I said, "Well, nothing. We'll come by with a check and you take it." "So what do I have to report back? What am I restricted in using it?" And we said, "No, this is just you're the experts. You do with it what you want." And he said, "It's great." Because I was asking, would $100 make an impact? He said, "Having $100, no matter what size shelter, to do with it what the management wants of that shelter to do with it is extremely important. It's not restricted by some of the grants and all." And so that made me feel really good that no matter what size donation that a particular shelter may get, that it is actually unrestricted. They can do with it and put it to the exact need that's needed at that point in time.
And have they shared with you some of the things that they're spending this money on?
Oh, they have. A lot of the shelters are, it goes into really just managing operations. Again, you think about homeless shelter, you may just think of the beds that they provide, but they're also providing food. And so it can go into that. Others are putting into programs to help the actual residents there get back on their feet. And that was one thing that I've seen. I visited one shelter. It was a family shelter, so single mothers and their children, or at least couples. And there were a group of women there that were getting jobs cleaning houses to make ends meet, get up on their feet again, if you will. And they started saying, well, if we could collaborate and create a business around it. So they, even within this, they had the sense of entrepreneurship. And so some of the money will go to help them develop that if they need to.
Greg, how can people find out about Hope at Home and the other programs that are being supported by Camden National Bank?
Yes, you can, first of all, visit any branch within Camden National Bank, or for specifically Hope at Home, is to go online, Hope at Home, with the A-T spelled out, .com, or our main website, CamdenNationalBank.com, and there'll be a link to our Hope at Home website there.
Well, I'm just thrilled that you have taken an idea and really turned it into something positive for the community. The $20,000 that Camden National has already given to the homeless shelters in the state, and hopefully the additional $20,000 for the second half of the year.
Right.
I'm sure that it's going to good use. And I guess what this just reminds me is that really, if you have an idea, you can turn it into something. You don't have to sit back and wonder why the world is going in the wrong direction.
Right.
You can kind of set it right in your own way. So I appreciate the time that you have spent on this program. We've been speaking with Greg Dufour, the president of Camden National Bank, and also the individual who put into place the innovative Hope at Home program, for which Camden National Bank donates $100 to a homeless shelter in the community of each new homeowner. Thanks so much for coming on the program and for the work you do.
Thank you.